Mr. Chairman, items number 3, 4, and 5 on the agenda will be heard concurrently, as you've recommended. Number 3 is a closing of part of the public lane south of McGillery Boulevard, east of Front Street, for incorporation into DDSF 3 of 2008. And DDSF 2008 is a subdivision and rezoning for 2440 McGillery Boulevard, and that also has an accompanying variance as well for that property.
Evening all. My turn?
Go ahead.
My name's Doug McKay. I'm with MB1 Developments, and we're working on behalf of the owner of 2440 McGillivray. We're applying for the modifications to existing zoning, I guess, for the proposal. Hopefully everyone has had a chance to review the sets of plans prepared. We believe that, or we've worked hard to learn from past lessons on this site, and our discussions that we've been able to have with the neighbors to both sides to create a development that we think forms a nice transition in the neighborhood. It works hard to be a good neighbor. It incorporates large setbacks, plantings, to augment not just privacy for the neighbors, but also the park to the south that we feel is an important benefit to the neighborhood. And we've done all that we can to make sure that everything from the refuse to planting to the traffic, the signage is all there. We do have a couple of items that we do have to address with the neighbors in terms of our fence design. It still hasn't shown up on my computer, so that's something that I owe them information on. And the parking lot lighting, there was a slight, in the planner's report, it mentions that the lot lighting would be off the building. I know that was a suggestion. When I checked it out with the electricians, they suggested that it wouldn't cover the parking lot. So they provided me with a sample of a parking lot light standard. There'd only be 2. And they said that they installed them at Gauthier's, which also has residents nearby at both their McPhillips and Watson Street locations. I called there, and Mr. Jason, I think it's Cass, offered that they've worked very well. They've had no complaints from neighbors at either site. And one of them, the Watson Street, I guess, is surrounded by apartments. So they thought that they'd be getting something in terms of feedback from there, but there's been none.
I understand this. There's a bunch of lots here. There's 10 of them, I think. And I don't know if they're all 25 feet or not. Can you tell me how much of this existing site is currently zoned commercial and how much of it is currently zoned residential?
The residential portion, right now, in terms of parcels, there's 2 parcels.
30 and 31?
Yeah.
30 and 31?
Yeah, I believe so. The residential portion, I'll just bring up that. The residential portion is 100 feet in width, and then the commercial portion is 150 feet in width. The residential portion shows 4 lots, but they haven't been subdivided out, and they're 25 feet width. But right now it's 1 legal lot at 100 feet long, and that's the residential portion.
That's right. And there was a mention somewhere in here about 125, but it's 150 and 100, right?
Yeah.
So even though there's 8 lots there, they only total 150 feet?
Yes, on the commercial portion, it's 150 feet wide, and that would be 6 lots. But they haven't been subdivided out, and the rest of the lots on the street are anywhere from 37 and a half feet to the immediately adjacent lot owned by the Trenemans. That's 50 feet wide.
I'm on page 10.
Yeah.
And I show 10 lots.
Okay.
That's why I'm having questions.
Yeah.
And not only that.
This is, yeah, the lane closing diagram.
Yeah. But I mean, if.
Yeah, but those lots aren't subdivided out. See, they're dashed in. There's only actually two large parcels right now.
I guess my point, James, is that if two of those lots are 100 feet and the other eight are 150, it seems that the scale's a little off. It makes it look like there's a lot more commercial there than residential. And in fact, that's not really the case.
You mean just the diagram?
Yeah.
I've got
right now 60% of the property is commercial and 40% is residential. That would be accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That would be accurate.
And the intent, that laneway is approximately what, 16 feet wide?
4.877 meters.
Yes.
You wish.
16 feet.
Okay, so what's being recommended by the planning department is that the city convey 16 feet to the owner of the property. And what are the depths of those properties, just out of curiosity? Because there's nothing on here that's
108.
That I can see anyway. You know?
Yeah, 108 feet depth from the front of McGilvery to the edge of the lane.
Okay, so they're 108 plus 16 is what you've done. And it's your view, and I'm assuming based on, if this is to scale, then lots, you know, 7 to 21 must be about 110 feet too. The ones that front the park. The reason I'm going here is because in your comments it said that if something happened that we wanted to develop those properties, because right now they're going to be an island sitting there doing nothing forever, that there's enough distance there to put a lane next to the existing lane. And if that's the case, then those are 108-foot lots too, and they certainly look like it based on the drawing, that would mean that those lots would only be, they'd be 108 less 16, they'd be 92. Not very deep.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, where a lane against the existing lane. Yeah,
right,
this report, that's the road closing report.
I know.
So I don't know.
Well, somewhere in here today, I mean, there's a whole bunch of reports here I read that we could, in fact, that it's not a problem to convey 16 feet to this gentleman, because if we had to, we could always take 16 feet off of our residential properties and create shallower lots, but they'd only be 92-foot lots based on that.
The Transportation Division mentioned that there's city-owned land to the south of this building that's available for a turnaround. And again, they didn't specify exactly
Well, how does it apply to that? I believe that there's a house on lots 1 and 2.
Yes.
Okay. And then from lots 3 all the way across to 21, I don't think it's anything. It's just bush.
Yeah, it's just bush.
And then it fronts Sigma, which is intended to be left as a park. So how does the planning department see these lands developing in the future? Do you do this?
In terms of the future, what we felt would be appropriate would be to actually offer a portion of the residential lands that the city owns next to Toledo Meat and south of the subject site, offer them for sale to the owner of the subject site. The other lands that remain behind the existing homes on McGilvery, there were some scenarios for could allow development, but the cost to put in the sewer and water and land drainage and concrete far outweighed the amount of money you would receive back through the sale of these lots. So I would say that.
You've been out to Waverly West lately? The lots are going for $350,000.
Yep. This is what the numbers were crunched by people in real estate, the City of Winnipeg Real Estate Division.
So what's you're suggesting that there could be a turnaround at the east end of it on Toledo Foods property? And what would be the purpose of that?
I'm not suggesting a turnaround. That was within the road closing report, which was not my report.
Okay.
I'm suggesting the lane would remain as is, and that this development would not increase any traffic on the lane because they would not be allowed access to the development from the lane.
Okay. I read in here that you were looking at creating a business site.
Professional services?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
The target is to get the owner is a doctor. So her clinic would go in one of the modules. And so doctors, maybe insurance, financial planners, professional services, so that it would be set up by appointment. We've agreed to have restricted business hours.
Yeah, the planners have made a list here of properties and uses that wouldn't be allowed. They shall not be permitted. If it says here a restaurant greater than 1,500 square feet, I would suggest to you there won't be a restaurant there, period.
I don't think there will be.
If this was going to go. I have a huge problem with this, and it's got nothing to do with you. This is always buyer beware. About 3 or 4 years ago, we were dealing with a company that said, well, what would you let me do? And so we told them and sold the property to your client. And the other problem that I've got is we're building bicycle paths and we're spending a lot of money doing it. And last year we spent $335,000 building a bike path McGilvery Boulevard from Brady to Keniston, and we're going to continue it in the next 2 years all the way to Pembina Highway.
Okay.
And it currently already goes in at Front Street into the Fort Wayne Nature Center, which connects everything up to the zoo and everything else. I thought that was pretty good planning when we did that. But it's not the planning department that's planning the trails, in fairness. It's local councillors that seem to be planning the trails. And I have a real problem with that, because I don't know how many cars are going to be going in and out of here. That's a huge concern to me, because you got little kids there. In fact, we tried something different. It's a little wider than normal. It's meant to have bicycle icons on one side.
That's the widened asphalt sidewalk there? Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I know.
There's only, I mean, we're all working on the future here, so it's our best guesses. But, you know, our spot is set up so that it's, the services are, as I was saying, targeted towards appointments. There's 32 parking stalls here, so I don't think, and we're, as you say, restaurant may be struck from the list, and we're not anticipating in-out. There's no drive-through. There's no. I don't think that the traffic would be so much.
I think Doug,
because
what,
of this site.
What my guts tell me is that if somebody's driving east or west on McGilvery Boulevard, and I've been out there lots, it's fast out there. And if somebody wants to turn left or right into this particular facility to go to a doctor's appointment, pick one, they're more often than not going to have somebody right up their yin yang, and they're going to be looking in their rearview mirror and going, "Oh, I got to get out of here." And my concern is that if they do that and there's some little kid on that sidewalk, it's a huge issue, and I don't know how to solve it. Off the top of my head.
There's somebody on rollerblades or something coming faster than,
there's no protection. I appreciate that you're just trying to do the best you can with what you got, and I'm off like you're some terrible person or something. That's not where I'm coming from. But I've been involved in this thing from a long time now, a long time, and this is. I didn't even know that this piece still existed. I was laughing at telling James earlier. But I don't think this, because he just kind of stuck it in there that this was a grocery store. I don't think it's been a grocery store since I was in high school. And that's a while ago.
Well, it was 80, I'm only going off the phone book. It was, I can't remember.
Well, it may have been zoned that way, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Somebody here.
Lee knows when it disappeared.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, those are my concerns. Obviously, if something was going to happen here, medical offices would be the thing that, about the only thing that would make any sense. And it's not that big anyway, but.
No.
And the same thing with the number of parking spots. There seems to be adequate parking provided the way that they've done this. But I can't think of anything else I want to ask right now, unless you want to tell me. I don't know. I know you had a meeting one Friday night at White Ridge, and you got somebody to come to that. And I know you've been talking about having a 30-foot setback.
Yes, on the west side, yeah.
So what we're really talking about here then is we're talking about rezoning 60 feet of property. Is that what we're really talking about?
Effectively. Yeah, the 100 feet frontage is residential right now. The whole thing would be rezoned, but the plans show a 40-foot setback from the west property line, a landscape setback.
Now then, let me ask you the loaded question. If we said no, and he's got 150 feet, what are his rights to building a, notwithstanding he doesn't have the back lane conveyed to him and all that kind of stuff, what are his rights on that segment? Without making an application?
It's C1 commercial, so there's a list of uses in the bylaw. There are certain yard requirements in the bylaw. He would have to provide 10 feet to the adjacent residential lot line. He would have to provide 20 feet in the
front. Which is 110. Yeah.
Yeah. 20 feet frontage, 0-foot rear yard, and a 0-foot side yard to the east. And then the list of uses within the bylaw. There's permitted uses that could go in as of right. I'll go down to.
Yeah, if he's just making an application to take out a building permit on his property,
yeah,
he doesn't have to have anything removed from what can go there. Would that be fair?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Care home, neighborhood rehabilitation home. Just give you a list of some of the uses. Library, post office, carrier depot, protection emergency services could go on that C1 site as of right. So ambulance, fire, other uses.
Maybe correct me too, James, but I was under the understanding from zoning that if Dr. Karen wanted to build residences, if it stayed residential, then she could potentially have residences within like 3 feet of the property line on the west versus the 40 feet.
Yeah, I believe it would be a 4-foot setback on the west property line if you built a house there now.
Two-story and...
On the residential zone property.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just thought it was important for people to hear that.
Retail sales could go in the C1 site, mm-hmm. Kennel, veterinarian hospital.
Retail store.
Yeah.
Store restaurant.
Yeah, a restaurant could go in up to 2,500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Question. Just back to the parking issue for the doctor's office.
Daycare.
How many
Sure, I called the doctor's office. There's two doctors that work. She's in a partnership now. And they see, they're pediatricians, so the schedule sometimes can get a little fluked up with emergency visits for deliveries. But they see 20 in a day. She works until 4.
20 patients a day or something?
Well, there's two of them.
Tuesday.
Yeah, they leave open time because as pediatricians they have to disappear, so as people here may know, you then sometimes go and end up sitting around for quite some time.
Waiting on pediatrician. Who is it that happens to Dr. Brown?
Moran, yeah, it's actually, I misspelled it when I told James, it's D-E, de Mueller, yeah.
So these people don't work on weekends?
No, she's a single mom, four kids. She is. It'd be impossible. That's on her personal. I phoned, she doesn't have interest on working on weekends. There may be other businesses in there. Fort White, I know, is open 10 to 5 on weekends. I think James has put in some restriction on hours. And when I talked to the doctor before she had to leave for her parents' anniversary, she was fine with that.
It probably would be more than 20 days.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. That's her practice as a pediatrician because they leave open spots.
Well, it depends on how many units you have, I guess.
Six are proposed.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Six are proposed.
Six units are proposed.
Right.
Any questions,
Councilor
Rivera?
Okay, Doug, thank you.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, in support, is it Doug Thomas?
No further questions. I'm just the landscape architect.
In opposition, is it Dana? Dana
Truman.
Could my wife speak first?
Sure.
We have an order of our
sure, and you're Cynthia?
You're a smart guy.
She usually speaks first. So.
There's three of you from residents that we speak.
Women first.
We're 2452.
They're right next door.
I'm Cynthia Traneman. I live at 2452 McGill Reed Boulevard, right next door to the proposed development. And I've lived at this address for 24 years and in the area for 31 years. We did petition the area. Was it the originals? Oh, thank you. And our petitions clearly indicate that the citizens of Fort White and White Ridge do not want to see a zoning change to allow commercial development on the proposed site. I personally would like the zoning to stay the same. There are two residential lots right next to us, and I would welcome houses instead of commercial. The city could extend the gravel back lane to accommodate access to these residential lots at a minimal cost. It's a gravel back lane. The infrastructure for sewer and water is already there. The proposed closure of part of the back lane and sale to the developer is short-sighted because there is no land use plan for the area. We were here in the fall of 2005, and then that comment at the end of that community committee meeting was that the overall plan for the area needs to be taken into consideration. And I talked to Mr. Beach, and there's still no plans for that area. The city hasn't declared the land surplus or anything, so that hasn't been decided.
Cynthia, what's the total amount of petitions here?
My son is going to speak further to the petitions. I think there's over 100 signatures on those petitions. Yeah. So allowing the consolidation of these, the back lane and the two R1 properties and the commercial to allow the developer to zone it to C1 doesn't fit in with the neighborhood. In the last few years, McGill Reed Boulevard has seen major changes in the commercial building at the corner of McGill Reed and Keniston. McGill Reed accommodates more vehicles than ever before because of this. We're just a two-lane street without proper turning lanes. We've got a high volume of traffic. Speed limit 70 kilometers an hour in there. There's pressure to leave the highway anytime you're turning off. We've got a new bike path slash sidewalk that lots of people are using. It is a little frightening when you're pressured to get off the sidewalk and, you know, then you have to look both ways and go when we're coming in Front Street. Having this commercial property there with doctor's offices or whatever will just bring more traffic out from Winnipeg to the area. Presently, the doctor's office is at the corner of Kempton and Markham, and she'll be bringing her clients out to Fort White. So she'll be bringing more traffic out. We still don't have bus service out, so they will have to drive. Is the city planning on putting turning lanes into the development? Are they going to put stop signs on the sidewalk? My other concern is that the proposed building is too large for the site, therefore the need for the two variances plus the back lane. They stuck within the proposed area without acquiring the back lane. It would be make it a small building. And that's about all I have to say. I'd just like to finish up by saying, in shaping Fort White's future, let's keep commercial development on the other side of the tracks, and let's choose community over business. Thank you.
Did you have any questions, Councillor?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I want to make really sure that you understood what I was getting at a little while ago, because most of your comments were you don't want to see this area be zoned.
That's right.
It's already zoned. That was my whole point. There's 250 feet here. 100 feet of it is zoned residential.
Yeah, I'd like to see it stay that way.
And the other, I heard that, but 150 feet of it is zoned commercial.
That's right.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we didn't do any of this, and we don't have to, they can just simply go get a building permit and slap up a commercial building. They don't have to ask anybody. And they can put anything in there that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you understand that?
I understand that.
Okay, because that's why I want to make sure. Okay.
So if they put residential next to us,
yeah,
the city could just extend the back lane down, and that way they'd have their entrances and exits from the back lane.
I'm not sure what their rights are with the commercial on the Gilbert. It's a good question.
In terms of extending the back lane to provide access, or?
No, well, I'm talking about if they didn't have access off the Gilbert, and they had to come in off the lane.
For two new residential lots?
For
the commercial use two? As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, planning wouldn't support that. We wouldn't support bringing commercial traffic down the back lane. It's not to city standard. So it wouldn't be a good situation to have commercial and to access the property through the back lane.
I don't have any more questions.
Any questions for Councilor Northern?
Nope. Okay, now I think you guys are doing this in tandem, right? Does Joel or Dana want to come up?
No.
You are?
I'm Dana.
Dana?
I have maps. It's just a fear diagram.
This
just shows more of it. Shows one.
It's a great color.
Yeah. But my name is Dana Trenman. I live at 2452 McGill Reef. I've lived there 24 years, and I've lived in the area 55 years on one address or the other. So I grew up in the area. I've seen all the changes. You know, I'm speaking against the proposed development and the back lane closure. And I have four topics I'd like to speak on. First one is the public lane closure. And I'll just read the statement I have and then ask a question thereafter, I guess. One of the primary reasons to turn down this development application is the issue of the public lane closure. The city of Winnipeg owns the adjacent land to the south. Currently, if you look on your map, the city owns lots 16 to 21 south of the public access. Five lots that are currently 25 feet by 108 feet deep, and one corner lot that is larger. These lots are zoned R1, intended for single family housing development. They match the size of the residential lots that are the subject of this application, as well as the existing housing lots to the west. The public lane closure would cut 16 feet out of the equation, meaning that to give access to those lots would require cutting a new lane or turnaround out of the 108 feet, thus restricting the depth of the future lot, residential lots. This application also calls for a rear yard of only 5 feet behind the building and no fence. This would also impact the ability to develop those lots in the future. This lack of road or back lane access and lack of a significant buffer yard from the proposed commercial site could paralyze the ability, to develop these adjacent lots. The only other alternative would be to develop the Sigma Avenue right-of-way shown on the map. However, city planning, Mr. Vetch, has stated that completing Sigma with full services would be prohibitively expensive. In either case, the existing lot sizes and the nature of the surrounding community make both the city lots and the R1 segment of the applicant's land much more appropriate for development within the current zoning for residential development. Okay, and I have a blurb on city planning now. After the Assiniboine Community Committee defeated the previous application in 2005, based on many of the same grounds we are expressing here tonight, In October 2005, Councillor Clement and the committee recommended that the City Policy Committee on Property and Development, they directed the administration, and I quote, prepare a conceptual plan and joint development application for land south of McGilvery Boulevard, specifically including property at 2438 McGilvery and adjacent city-owned lands. Councillor Clement said the public lane right-of-way could not simply be sold off and that the overall plan for the area needed to be taken into consideration. My son did speak to Mr. Clement on the phone a few weeks ago. He said that there was still no coherent plan for the city's land. Also, I note at the 2005 meeting, Councillor Eady even made the statement that a line had been drawn, a line between commercial development and the residential community. The marker referred to as the CPR railway tracks is a line between further commercial development as exemplified today by Costco on one side and the residential area on the other. I'd like to address traffic and road conditions. The posted speed limit is 70 kilometers per hour, and in practice, many drivers seem to think it's much higher. The current road type broken yellow line even allows for passing within the area. Turning off McGilvery is already a safety risk due to the high speeds and cars passing on the unstable gravel shoulder. The development would require the construction of what would be the busiest access point on this undivided part of McGilvery. The strip mall would bring a large amount of traffic to the site. The primary tenant, a doctor's office, in our estimates, would bring dozens and dozens of cars per day by itself. As existing patients from other areas of the city travel to the site, doctors often schedule as many as 6 appointments an hour. The city's plans to twin McGilvery Boulevard from Columbia to the edge of the city limits seem to exist only in theory and may take decades. I was told there's nothing in the 5-year plan and could take 50 years. Is the city prepared to install turning lanes into the development to lower the speed limit, to prevent passing, to offer public transit to the site? Other busy entrance and exits would also cross the recreation, that it would be another busy entrance and exit that would cross the recreational bike and walking path that runs along the south of McGilvery, and it's planned to connect all the way to Pembina Highway. The pathway is heavily used, enjoyed by residents of Fort White and White Ridge, and also happens to be a section of the Trans-Canada Trail. Already drivers feeling pressured by speeding cars behind them sometimes turn off McGilvery without proper checking for pedestrians. And the other small thing, the other thing that I would like to address would be property values. And it is a concern that I have that the potential negative effects will happen on property values, mine and others in the area. Real estate agents have said that there's no definite way to tell if this development would reduce them, but did say that many people are turned off by having a commercial next door or close by. You'll see that's the case by our petitions, because like all those people in White Ridge that basically signed that petition was saying we don't want it in our neighborhood. So those same, if those people were potential buyers of my property, they wouldn't buy it. That's what I'm getting. And that's, my son will give you statistics on it, but it's, it's a high percentage. And that's my comments.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure then, so the lane closure is an issue to you. The lack of an appropriate plan of subdivision. And twinning is being done this year from...
Well, it's just overall road and traffic conditions, and, if the city wants to, put development in and allow this development to go in, walk the walk then. Put the infrastructure in.
There's a reality how much I can get at one time, but it is being twinned this year from Columbia to Waverly. That'll help some, particularly at Keniston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to answer you on property values. It's kind of one of those things where you really can't.
Yeah, as I've said, it's not a concrete thing. I can't nail it, but when you look at the petitions in the area that don't want commercial, you see percentages. A lot of people don't like it and wouldn't buy my dwelling. So, if you see bidding wars going on houses, well, that's less people to bid. So does that impact your final price? I don't know.
Good evening. My name is Will Trenum. I'm Cindy and Dana's son. I just wanted to touch on a few other areas that have been suggested by my mom. The first one is the resident opposition in the area. Residents have both old and new to the area have shown their opposition to this type of commercial development on the site. Four of us in the neighborhood canvassed the 22 residents of Fort White on McGilvery Boulevard, Front Street and Sigma, as well as Hawkwood Streets, Cloverwood, Rose Glen, Langdale, and Cedar Glen, which are the streets in White Ridge that are immediately south of this area and so potentially most affected. We visited about 150 residences in total, and were able to speak with residents at about 100 homes that were actually home. We found an overwhelming response against the development and the lane closure. More than 80% of people we were able to speak with. The petition against rezoning has 104 signatures from 86 separate residences, and the petition against public lane closure has 102 signatures from 83 residences. We only spoke with about 5 or 10 people that were in favor of this, and a few more were undecided. We were actually even surprised to find that the opposition to medium-scale commercial development on this site seems to have increased from 2005, when the previous application occurred. When we counted this in 2005, there were 70. We got 72 signatures. So. Some of the views of different residents that we spoke with were that many of them purchased homes in the area because they wanted to be well removed from having businesses in their neighborhood. Many people wanted to keep the commercial development in the Keniston-McGilvery area because they felt that was sufficient and that it didn't need to encroach any further. Almost everyone spoke about traffic as being high volumes in the area, as you've heard. Many were concerned that the entrance off McGilvery would cause interference with the bike and walking path along McGilvery, because many people expressed their enjoyment of it for recreational purposes. Some expressed concerns about this development's proximity to the community center, park, and playground, which are south of the site. That could disrupt the peaceful setting of that park and could even increase safety concerns for children. That's kind of the feedback that we got from residents. Another area I wanted to address was the service area related to this proposed development. There is little or no population base to the north, northwest, northeast, and even east of this site, and because those areas are either already occupied by commercial development or slated for construction of churches, especially particularly directly across McGilvery to the north, there would be no other residential development planned to fill in around this site if the zoning is changed, and the city. Also, the city lots behind it would be rendered ineffectual or unlikely for development. The area residents were in majority agreement that a medium-sized C1 development is not necessary in the area. A lot of this was due to the idea that there are already enough professional services in the area to serve the needs of residents. There's dentists, chiropractors, walk-in medical clinics, insurance agents, banks, physiotherapy, etc. Can all be found in the Keniston-McGilvery shopping area. And there are more than enough retail and service options to meet the needs of residents. A point that was raised to me that I thought was very good was that the doctors in question already have an established patient clientele. And that there may not be ability of immediate residents to access doctor care at this new site. And the final area I wanted to talk about was the building and the lot appropriateness of these two parcels. Mr. McKay has been very gracious in his efforts to improve upon the previous development plan that came before you in 2005. He has made more of an effort to consult neighbors, improve the western side yard, and agree to the C1 usage. However, many of the same problems and concerns that led to the denial of the previous application do remain. The scale of the building is too large for the available land. Again, the developer is trying to secure the use of the city-owned back lane because existing lot size is not sufficient for a medium-sized development like the one proposed. Even if they did assume control of the lane, the building would leave only a 5-foot yard to the south, barely any extra space on the east, and only a 2-foot yard requiring a variance in the front. If the goal of infill development of this nature, including as described under Plan Winnipeg, is to conform or to take into account the existing area, then this kind of zoning is zoning change would not be appropriate. Current zoning could provide for residential lots on the western parcel. The eastern portion could potentially be appropriate for further residential development or for a very small-scale commercial building that could accommodate a doctor's office or something along those lines. The site used to accommodate a very small building where the owners operated a post office and daytime store in front, and also kept the residents in the back of that same building. Recent development of the immediate area is residential, park, green space, and there is a church proposed for the north side of McGilvery Boulevard, whose owners plan to maintain the character of the area and to link up potentially with the Fort White Center trails. I believe the best development fit for the for this property is housing. The current zoning would allow the division into residential lots, either fronting or backing on McGilvery, but likely with access from the public lane, which obviously could be extended. It is difficult to claim that residential development along McGilvery is undesirable because the city did approve it in the Linden Ridge subdivision between Waverly and Dovercourt, where the new homes there back on McGilvery. So that's my part.
Any questions?
Yeah. Joel, you did pretty good walking around getting a petition. I was just curious, how many drafts did you go through to get the wording on that?
Drafts? Of the petition wording?
Yeah.
One or two.
Yeah. It's carefully crafted.
I make my living as a writer, so.
My understanding is that although it wasn't a very great night for it, they had a forum on a Friday evening, one person, I think that was you, but I'm not positive.
Myself and my parents attended.
Okay. But none of these people went. I'm curious about that. Did they not? Who was invited to that meeting?
That I'm not 100% sure about. There was only a few residences, I believe, on Cloverwood, that had received notice and a package with the plans. It was a handful of residences. Everyone else in the area that we walked around had no knowledge of any development plan, unless they had seen the sign on McGilvery.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, and the last, last presenter is Robert Brocklehurst.
Good evening, councillors and committee. My name is Robert Brocklehurst. I live on Sigma Avenue. I've been a resident there since, mid to late 70s. In regards to the commercial property that's zoned C1 currently, to me it's blown right out of proportion for what it was originally intended for. It was a post office. That's what was set up there, I believe, for perhaps the rural people in the area or the very few people that did live out there. I mean, I used to have a box number there. It was 59 at the time. It was a couple that owned it. It was Pete and Anna Gravici. And, for a grocery store, you could maybe go in and, buy a can of this or buy a can of that. But I think basically what supported the whole operation was the post office. Pete used to get about $13,000 a year for it, and when the post offices were pulled, it had to leave. He had to shut it down, basically. And I don't recall them ever going past maybe, I don't know, if they went past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that was a long day for them. And the store itself inside was maybe, 20 by 20. So I guess my point to that long-winded story is that to take commercial or residential lots right now and close down a back lane also to make this strip mall a go, I just don't see it as the right thing to do, especially in this area that's so sensitive to commercial development right now. There's so much of it, given everything that's happened, Keniston and McGilvery, that's been mentioned before by other people. And when we did the petition, the walk-around, it was overwhelming support against the building of more commercial down in the residential end. People just don't want it. And as a matter of fact, when we had done this before a couple of years ago, I would say the support for this has increased 100%, that people just do not want any more development down in this end. There's two current residential lots that are there with the shortage of residential lots in the city. You know, it might be a good idea. Myself, personally, I have to be honest, I don't think I could live on McGilvery. But that's not to say there aren't other people that wouldn't want to live on a busy street like that. I don't know. Maybe you could, have access to their properties from the lane if it was further taken down. As for the walkway in the front, I definitely believe it would be a problem because there's more and more people that use it all the time now, and getting in and out of this strip mall, I think, would be a problem. And in fairness for the petition, when we did walk around, we stayed only in the immediate area. We could have gone into the rest of White Ridge and didn't. And I think it would have been, there would have been scads, more pages of names on there, but we didn't bother. We just stayed in the very immediate area around there. And as I mentioned before, it was overwhelming against further development there. That's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Questions? I don't think so.
Presentations are closed. And Doug, do you want to come back and
thank you.
Retort if you will.
So
it doesn't just remind you to respond to anything that was
presented.
Or presentation portion, whatever, just respond to what the opposition had said.
Sure. Okay. On the petition, which I haven't seen, and that's fine, what we did was every residence in that Fort White area, except for two, one was bailiff had seized it, and the other one, everything in the house was on the lawn, so it looked like there was nobody home. Otherwise, everybody in the Fort White that's adjacent. I had the pleasure of speaking with Lee in a one-on-one meeting, and then all the houses that have a view onto the park, on the north end of White Ridge, I don't know the street names, you guys would know them better. Every single one of them got a package delivered in their mailbox that had not just the plans, but a two-page letter, a copy of which I sent to James by email, that also listed my phone number and the date and time of the meeting. It was a Friday 6-8, so the thought was, it's the only date we could get, number one. But, and then I took the Friday 6-8 hoping it'd be the least inconvenient time. So there's two options. Three options. Off the sign on 4x8 foot sign on McGilvery, phone either number that's on the sign, or go to the open house Friday from 6 to 8, or call me on my cell. I mean, they're all listed there. And I got none.
So you had no phone calls?
They were so motivated against it, I got none. Not one email, not one phone call, nobody showed up to the open house except for the Chinamans, which if I was them I would too. I mean, it's next door to their house, and it's understandable. We've had a few meetings and discussions, and we tried to incorporate everything that we heard about. We've tried to do. If I can go to a few things, there's a few things that puzzle me. One is we don't want commercial development, as Councillor Clement has pointed out. It actually is partially zoned commercial now. If we put in two residences, we put more traffic off the lane, and that commercial would still have to have access too. So it's not like we're diminishing or we're increasing what would already happen anyways. We're closing a lane that doesn't exist. There is no lane on that portion now. It's dirt. It's grass. It's not gravel. It is untravelable. Excuse my English. Now, so we're closing a lane that doesn't exist, except on title. On scale, if we talk about residential, as it pointed out in the planner's report, the development was designed to have residential scale to start with. The modules are only 1,500 square feet each. We're not talking about a big tower or big box. They have pitched roof. They're scaled to residential scale already. If you were to take a panorama down the elevations along McGilvery, Trenemans, then the 40 feet of yard, and then the next one, it's to residential scale. So we're not throwing in, you know, Lloyd's of London next door to a small community or village here. There seems to be something against closing the lane or on the anti-development side, but then talk about needing the lane so that the city lots can be developed. Well, to me, we're sort of throwing out, we don't want development, but we want to be able to develop the city lands. which seems to be a bit of a conflict to me. The post office was historically suited to the village atmosphere of Fort White, which was romantic and nice, but I think those days have passed by with the introduction of, whatever, 1,200 houses in White Ridge alone. So the post office days suited what was then. We're just looking to accommodate what is now. On the bike path issue, one of the reasons for Dr. Karen and we hope these others to be there is because their client base is in the area already. We hope that there's as much traffic that utilizes the bike trails by foot or whatever method by bike to get to the site as there would be by cars. We're not looking to throw an extra 300 cars in here. It's six units is all that it's going to be at most. So we're hoping that it's access off Columbia, up the bike path and in would be as much as anything else. On property values, I spoke to Dr. Karen, and we're willing to do a guarantee on the property value, and if the Trenemans would like, it's not being forced on them, if they would like, let's get three appraisals on the property, we would guarantee to buy that their property for the average of those three appraisals. We'd be willing to sign a letter to that effect. So they're in a no-loss position. And I think, as Councillor Clements pointed out, we already have C1 zoning on the property now, not in its entirety, but on that C1 zoning, I was told by the zoning department that we're allowed a 3.0 FAR. So we could build it up to 3 foot of buildable for every 1 square foot of lot area. That was from Michelle. So I don't know if it changed under the new bylaw, because that was back in December. On the presence of commercial, on the south side, Lee at Toledo has a terrific relationship with all the neighbors. He's on the south side. Jensen Nurseries is on the south side. J&D Penner is on the south side. So I don't think we're introducing a new concept or breaking virgin soil. And as it was pointed out to me, that actually in studies and in planning, turning cars is a traffic calming measure in that they have to slow down to turn. I'm not saying that we're salvaging McGilvery, but I'm just saying you can't turn a right-angle turn-in. We don't have an angled approach. We have a right-angle turn-in. So you're going to have to slow down. Well, Bogdan maybe knows this better. You'd have to slow down to turn a 90-degree right. You wouldn't be able to do it at 70 kilometers an hour. So if the problem is the speed of traffic going through, in theory, a 90-degree turn is a traffic calming measure. We're agreeable to, we had looked for C2 zoning, we're agreeable to C1 and even modified C1 zoning to eliminate some uses. We're agreeable to monument sign only so that we don't have a pylon sign blaring all through the night and it doesn't suit the residential. We're willing to put up the fence and modify the fence to suit the lilac bushes that the Trenemans have. They've requested and we're agreeable to that. So between scale, use, design and landscaping, I think we've gone probably about as close to, I think, a deal as you could get for a lot that is, you know, 250 foot of frontage on the McGilvery.
No. I asked them all before. Yeah.
Well, maybe I could just, James, did you get any phone calls then?
No calls except from the Trenemans.
Okay.
Okay, Doug, thank you very much for coming up. Councillor Clement, would you like to make a motion on this?
Yeah, I'll move three of them. On number three, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service to Dickman is wrote.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in.
Aye.
And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded. One of, along with your summary, I'm going to have to give supporting reasons, but I guess this wasn't the place.
Yep.
Another zoning. Yeah, it's the next one, right?
Yeah.
So, I'll move that the receipt of public, the report of the public service be taken as read.
In favor?
Aye.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
In favor?
I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee of Property and Development.
Favor?
Okay. Move that the supporting reasons are similar to the last time. And I think that they made a reasonable attempt here, and I think Gaines did too, but the bottom line is that we only dealt with this 3 years ago. And when we dealt with it, it was pretty clear where we landed. And one of the problems is some of our policies are difficult. And I'll give you an example of that. I mean, we've got perfectly good development lots, and all somebody has to do is extend the lane, and you can do that. There's the ability to have front drainage down Sigma, back to Front Street, and it doesn't have to be full-service development. There are situations where full-service development just doesn't make any sense, and this is one quirky little property that kind of jumps out like that. If you take the rear lane at 16 feet, at 150 feet, that's 2,400 square feet that you don't have for a building. Then you've got to be 110 feet to the west, as opposed to 40, which is another 70 feet of building. So it seems to me that by providing the setback at 40 feet and acquiring the lane, that the building winds up being double the size. And I just don't believe that anybody will build it at the other size. I appreciate this lady bought this land, and maybe she checked and maybe she didn't, but I can tell you that nobody called me and asked me. And the first time this came up, James raised it with me, and I reminded him that we were looking for a plan through there. And I know that that's a difficult thing for them to come up with, and I appreciate that. Anyway, there's a number of different issues that are associated with this. I just don't believe that this is the right thing to do on this property. And I appreciate that it's commercial, but it can be just as easy to reestablish into residential lots, and she can probably get her money out of it. I don't know what she paid, but I believe that she can get her money out of it if she does that. She builds it off the back lane. So I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concurred. Well, I did that already, didn't I? Yep. No, I thought I was giving supporting reasons. Yeah, I did. I'm down at the bottom. I'll move that the public hearing respective of this application be concluded.
Favor.
Aye.
And number five, the variance. Well, I mean, do we have to? I guess we have to actually move this. I'll move that the. Find it first. Sorry. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Favor.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Aye.
I'll move that criteria A to D of section 247.3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are not satisfied.
Aye.
And I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be not concurred.
Aye.
And I'll move that the public hearing respect this application be concluded.
Aye.